Thank you for joining us again for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. Satellite Nation is a weekly call-in show geared towards the hobby side of all things television. Brought to you by Satellite Guys Radio. Now here are your hosts, Michael and Brian.
Good evening, Satellite Nation. This is Michael Graves, KE4EST.
Good evening, Satellite Nation. I'm Brian Gold, Titanium Satellite. Welcome to Satellite Nation. Now, tonight, we welcome back Mario Felipe into HUN. Now, he's a FTA hobbyist, and that's a satellite free-to-air hobbyist and a contributor writer for Tele-Audio-Video Magazine and the Spectrum Monitor.
Now, like Brian said a couple of weeks ago, Mario joined us, and he introduced the Satellite Nation to SDR for software-defined radios. Well, he's going to be back, he is back this week to introduce us to some advanced things you can do with SDR. For anybody that missed it a couple weeks ago, Mario, he's a shortwave listener, ham radio operator, scanner enthusiast, and always been doing all this stuff for over 38 years, I think going on 38 years now. And like Brian mentioned, he's contributes to a couple of magazines, and naturally, of course, he's an avid FTA hobbyist.
Yeah, we really look forward to having Mario back on this evening. Now, get ready to call in to our live show. Tonight is February 4th, 2015. And let's talk about SDR, software-defined radio, or any other similar technology that you have on your mind. So you can call toll-free 877-SAT-GUYS. And as Scott pointed out once, that's not fat guys. That is 877-SAT-GUYS. And that's 877-728-4897. Now, if you're international or you have an unlimited calling plan, please give us a call at 347-327-9319. That's 347-327-9319.
Yeah, and always, if you haven't missed the Satellite Nation show, keep tuning in live and we'll catch one. You can always head over to Satellite Guys, go down to the Satellite Guys radio forum, and you'll see Satellite Nation archives. You can click on there and have a listen to any of the past shows you want to catch. Don't forget to also to go over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio and like our page and share us around. And if you have any questions or comments or anything about the show, we want to hear it over there. And also go over to Twitter if you're into that and follow us at SatNat Radio.
So, if you're into Twitter, are you a... special thanks to Scott. Scott over at SatelliteGuys.us, a great forum if you're into technology and you just want to find other people that are interested in different TV shows that you're interested in, or maybe a technology, IPTV, satellite, Dish Network, DirecTV, free-to-air, whatever it might be. Head on over to SatelliteGuys.us. And also, maybe you're listening to us on Satellite Guys Radio tonight. And Satellite Guys Radio is a great streaming radio station, hits from the 80s, some love songs at night. And also, Wednesday nights, you have our show, Satellite Nation. And then you also have, after that, another show that you're going to be talking about. We want to thank Dave Wallace, Wally Heights. He's the owner of GotCBand.com. Now, he has the IceCast audio server, which gets us over to be on satellite radio and also up on Access America. And, Dave, I almost forgot. Dave also has our new segment, which is a weekly technology talk show. So every week, Dave's going to give us the lowdown on what's hot and what's newsy.
Yeah, didn't want to forget to mention that. He's been doing a pretty good job here the last couple of weeks with that. And let's always we want to give out a big shout and thank you to Ralph Black with Access America for putting us up on G19. And, of course, right after this show, him and Mike Cole have a show called Stat Talk. It'll be 9 p.m. Eastern. And that's a pretty good show if you want to listen to it after hours. And a special thanks out to Titanium Satellite at www.titaniumsatellite.com.
And also, of course, your store, Michael, www.nc-electronics.com. Now, these stores and businesses and supporters, they help pay for this show and support Satellite Nation. So give us a visit sometime. Now, Michael, tell us something about the T-shirts.
Yeah, we've got T-shirts now available, and we've had a few people. Last week I put up a post on Facebook. If you went and liked the post and share the post, you'd get your chance to win one of these T-shirts to help support the show, Satellite Nation T-shirt. Now, of course, if you go to the store over at the Cafe Express / Satellite Nation Radio, they got all kinds of stuff you can get over there if you want to have a Satellite Nation cup or whatever. But if you'd like to win a T-shirt, we've got a few entries so far. Go over there. I'll bump that thread again. But like it, comment on it. Tell me you want to win a T-shirt and share it, and we'll put you in the drawing. Now, next week, I'm letting it run 2 weeks, so next week we'll be drawing the winner. We may even draw two. I don't know yet, but we'll do that next week.
Very cool. So, you know, there's a possibility that a listener might even get a mug or a T-shirt before I do, Michael.
I know it.
Well, hey, there's a link to that web store where people can buy their paraphernalia for Satellite Nation on Facebook?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, tonight we have another news segment by Dave. And in this news segment, he has some very interesting information about a new product from Dish. Iran is launching something into space. And Super Bowl streaming. So I'm really kind of interested to find out. So hang around, listen to this great update from Dave on what's going on in the news, and we'll be right back.
This is Dave with the news. So if you're an IPTV fan or enthusiast, guess what's out? Sling TV. So apparently they're doing a soft rollout. I had signed up on their site when I was out at CES to participate in the free trial. And 3 days ago, got an email from them. And basically, it gives you a little ID number. You can't do it online, which kind of surprised me. But you just call the toll-free number. It was quick and painless. Didn't take long at all, maybe 3 minutes. You sign up on the phone, and they send you an email, one with a password reset. And you click that link, and you set up your password. It's all going through the Dish World platform, it appears. And then you get a second email. That second email gives you the links to download the software. Right now, you can only do it on iOS, Android, Roku 3, and the Mac. Not sure what happened there with the PC. That's not out yet. Works good. Liking it. So go sign up and check it out for $20. ESPN. It's not a bad deal at all. So on Monday of this week, Iran successfully launched a home-brewed satellite into space. Weighted 110 pounds. Nobody knows what it's for. Iran did not disclose details of the satellite's purpose. They're saying it's experimental and that it is to cause no harm. It's all in research and development. So they now can launch a homebrewed satellite into space, which they've done before. But we'll just have to see how this develops. It's quite interesting that they were able to pull this off. So if you were like over one of the 100 million people that watched the Super Bowl and saw that just that crazy play at the end, might have watched through your satellite, might have watched through your cable, or in my opinion the best option would have been to watch it via your off-air antenna. Some people chose to watch it streaming, though. NBC had set up the streaming service, so you could watch the Super Bowl totally free. It did have some hiccups. Apparently the ads on it, were different ads, and I guess that Kim Kardashian ad was played 5 times. CNN reports that, it had reached a peak of 1.3 million, viewers. So, I mean, if you look at, I think it was over 100 million. So, I mean, the online stream was less than, 1%. So, I guess, that's kind of an indication to me that, when watching something really, big and popular, people still, tend to want to sit in front of the old, plasma or LCD screen to enjoy that, game. You know, there weren't too many, issues with, it not working. Of course it was lagged. Saw some reports that said it was lagged almost up to a minute. But, you know, you got to encode it and send it out, so that's normal. I don't know about a minute, but, you know, there's definitely going to be a delay. But the amazing thing is, if it's true that they reached 1.3 million simultaneous viewers, that's not bad at all. I mean, you look at the last time a big streaming event, and they didn't even have close to a million, was when Apple tried it and fell flat on their face. So, I mean, it's not exactly easy to stream something online that, you know, a million people are going to go to, so... You gotta, you know, give props to NBC for getting that done. And, you know, if you didn't have an antenna, didn't have cable or satellite, and you wanted to watch the game, you could stream it on the internet. So, on to our Save RC Band. So, it appears, according to Viasat, that the trade organizations like the Global VSAT Forum, Cable and Satellite Broadcasters Association of Asia, Asia Pacific Satellite Communications Council, and the Satellite Industry Association have all rallied together like nobody's ever seen to combat this problem. A statement came out from the European Satellite Operators Association that said this is a real threat from the wireless industry. They're being relentless, and in fact, they're inflating their requirements for spectrum, they claim, to do it. But on a good note, all the different councils and groups have sent lobbyists to Africa for their last meeting at the African Telecommunications Union to persuade or, you know, don't, you know, reallocate this C-band at the WRC in November for terrestrial use. So, positive news. Hey, this is Dave with the news, and I'll check you out next week.
All right, that was Dave with the news. Now, normally after the news segment, Dave would be joining us, but he's only going to be able to listen tonight. He's fighting a bad bug and has a very high fever. So we wish you well. Get well soon, Dave.
Yeah, I know what that's like. It went through the house here already a couple weeks ago.
Maybe he got the measles from Disneyland.
Uh-oh.
Well... Anyway, back to this news. Kind of interesting that Dish Sling would come out with these apps for everything but the PC.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. You think that would be the first target market, you know, because it don't matter what you like, because we got fanboys for everything. But, you know, face it, Windows has got the biggest market share. So, but, you know, I'm thinking maybe, well, they got ran into a little bug somewhere, so we're just going to, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Well, when I talked to Dave earlier about this story, he said there's no ETA for the PC release for the Sling media, and this is for the IPTV service, but he suspects that it will be released very soon before the release of that product.
Yeah, for the public release, yeah.
Yeah, what do you read into this Iranian satellite being put up 110 pounds of what to cause no harm?
I don't know. It's like, well, don't worry, it ain't going to cause no harm. So it makes you wonder, what is it? Something people would normally think would cause harm? Yeah, I don't know.
Something came to mind when I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about a big aluminum foil-lined Tupperware with loaded with something that you might scoop off the ground.
You get these little aluminum foil antennas sticking off of it.
Lob this into space. Anyway.
Let's see what happens.
You know, the Super Bowl, very cool. This is the first time that it's been legitimately streamed by NBC directly. Now, I understand that the NBC stream was the one that was having some buffering issues, but the streams that were offered by cable companies were much better.
Yeah, that's from everything I read. I didn't stream anything. Actually, I didn't even watch the Super Bowl. But,
well, I actually watched it on FTA because it was on an NBC, so I was watching the station feeds on it was beautiful. So,
I went through there and seen it a couple of times, but I didn't, sit there and watch it the whole time.
I found it very interesting, though, that they didn't play the same ads on the IPTV stream as they did over the air. It seems like they double sold them. Now, I understand what Dave said, that everybody got to see that Kim Kardashian ad 5 times.
Yeah. I don't know about Twitter about that.
Yeah, well, that will break the internet, won't it?
Yeah. We can break it, this will do it.
And then the final one was, what did you think of the shark? It almost, that shark on the right hand side of Katy Perry definitely stole the show. It's the social media's rage right now. It almost made me forget about that tragic, tragic, tragic call in the Battle Royale at the end of the game there.
Oh, yeah.
Almost.
I'm kind of following you. I didn't catch most of the game.
Well, now, the end of the game, Seattle made some wild call, and instead of handing it off to one of the best guys who could have broken that 1 yard run, they threw it. Intercepted. End of game. Bye-bye, Seattle. Oh, well. Yeah, I grew up in Seattle, so I kind of felt the pain maybe more than most. Well, who's our guest this evening there, Michael?
I believe we have Mario on the line. Mario Filippi. It's his mic turn. Have you got him brought in?
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the show, Mario. How are you?
Michael, thanks for inviting me back. I thought you guys forgot about me for a minute. All that about the Super Bowl. And actually, I enjoyed Dave's comments. I don't know what you guys are going to do after the show, but I'm going to get my snow shovel, my satellite finder, go in the backyard, and move my dish around, see if I can find this Iranian satellite.
Good luck on that. So what part of the world are you living there, Mario?
Oh, I live up I live in Central New Jersey.
Oh, okay. How much snow do you have?
We got about 6 inches.
Oh, nothing.
And yeah, it's really not a lot to affect my dishes. So I'd be interested to know if that Iranian satellite is or low Earth orbiting, or I guess they didn't tell us.
I think it is, yeah. I'm not sure, but I think it is.
Yeah, I didn't hear what it was, but it sounded at 110 pounds. It's probably what one of those little microsats, and it'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's nuclear powered.
Yeah. another interesting thing, you're talking about the Super Bowl. On Galaxy 17, 91 West KU, around noontime, there was a whole bunch of feeds from Boston, I guess, with the parade they were having up there.
Oh, they really finally neat. They finally got the parade done today, huh?
Well, it was some kind of parade in Boston. I took for granted the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I heard that it was delayed yesterday because of the too much snow on the ground. And good. They got their parade.
Looked like they shoveled the streets.
Good. And instead of turning cars over to burn them to show their happiness, they're probably flipping cars, burning them to stay warm.
Exactly.
Well, Mario, we had you on a couple weeks ago, and you filled in Satellite Nation about SDR, Satellite Defined Radio. Now, tonight, you're coming back, and you're going to be talking to us and educating us and telling us about some of the other things that we can do with our software-defined radio. So let's hit this very briefly. very briefly, what is software-defined radio, and then we'll get into the advanced usage of it.
Well, software-defined radio is basically the partnering of a computer with a radio, which doesn't really look like a radio. It's usually a black box. And the computer is responsible for controlling most of the radio's operation. The radio does the receiving, but the computer does all the, uses the computer sound card for sound and for changing bandwidths and for, you know, for VFO as a dashboard, because SDR radios usually don't have any knobs on them. So you've got a screen in front of you with all your controls.
So essentially, software-defined radio is just a device, a little tuner, quite typically just a USB tuner that's plugged in the back of your computer into a USB port. It could be something as expensive as a $15 or $20 DVB-T dongle that you get on eBay, or it could be one of these more dedicated, more high-end units that you can purchase. And then all the software, as we talked about last time, is open source.
Yeah. These dongles, just to get an idea, it's about the size of a thumb drive. They're about maybe an inch wide by 3 inches long. They're not really big. You wouldn't really know the difference between that and a flash drive or a thumb drive. They look exactly the same. But when you pop open the, when you open the inside, you'll see it's all surface-mounted technology that they use. It's really tiny. There's no way, you know, you can do any homebrewing or modification unless you've got, super eyes like Superman or something like that.
Now, Michael, after the last show, you shared some stuff on the Satellite Guys about what you had done with your DVB-T USB drive. So fill us in on what you've done since the last show.
Yeah, I got mine up and running on the A3. The free-to-air box that's pretty popular right now. I thought, well, it's got to do it, or, you know, it should be able to do it. Now, it may not, but anyway, so I went and plugged it in. It recognized it, but I had to get the driver and put it in it. And I used that SDR Touch, put that app on there, and it works pretty good. Now, you can tell it's not a perfectly smooth waterfall, but it's not real bad. I've seen so much, you know, old computer that just drags, but this one, it's pretty fast, but it's like you can see a little bit of a jump to it, just a hair of a, you know, like it's, you know, where it's scanning the line, printing the line down through there, you can see it almost going, but it's usable.
Yeah, right? Now, Michael, when you had posted up that you had installed it on the A3, I've installed it on other Android devices in the past, but I never put it on my A3. So I went ahead and downloaded that driver, which is on Google Play Store. And I imagine, Mario, this is the same probably driver that you'd use on any Android device. Is that correct? The RTL 820T driver?
Well, I can only speak for the desktop and the laptop folks. I use the Zeta driver.
Oh, okay.
For the IBM PC.
Right. Okay. So, you know, I just wanted to share with all the hobbyists out there listening. I loaded it on the Amico A3. I'm not experiencing any of the hiccups that you're talking about, Michael. I did go ahead and, like yourself, I paid the big upfront fee of $10 so I could have the pro version. And, you know, I must say it's a good introduction, but for anybody who has been playing around with, any of the other SDR programs, I think the SDR Touch is very under-featured.
Yeah, I agree. And it wasn't really a hiccup. It was just, I just kind of noticed it was just a little bit, but, you know, like you've seen it now, you can see that it's pretty smooth. It's not as smooth, I would say, as the computer, but maybe it's the way the TV interface mm-hmm. or something.
Well, last time we talked about mostly the reception of emergency services, maybe some airplanes or, aviation communications. Yep. We talked a little bit about, starting out on FM frequencies. But what else can we do with these units, Mario?
Well, I tell you, the with all the digital modes that are out there, they're in use by hams and by commercial stations. You know, anybody who's interested in non-voice modes, they're certainly doable with the SDR. To give you an example, radio teletype, while there's still quite a bit of radio teletype on the HF bands, there's things like SITOR-B, which is simplex teletype over radio. There is, for hams, you can decode PSK-31. Now, those in receiving weather faxes from U.S. Coast Guard stations or Canadian Coast Guard stations, which one of the things really interesting is getting iceberg warnings from the Canadian Coast Guard in map format. You can do that.
Well, that would be cool. We don't see those too often down here in California.
No. And actually, there are some, I haven't received any, but there are some Japanese fax stations that send out newsprint to fishermen at sea. Even though you wouldn't be able to understand them unless you spoke Japanese, but it would be see that. There's another thing, another mode called differential GPS, which are found down between 285 and 315 kilohertz. Now that's pretty far down on the band, but using the up converter, you can actually receive these beacons and see the information that they're transmitting. As a matter of fact, we have one down in a couple in New Jersey that I had picked up recently, and it'll print out all the information that's coming off of these digital GPS beacons, which are basically used by ships at sea for navigation.
Okay,
they were outfitted by the Coast Guard.
Now, is that
yes.
the type of thing that I see? Because quite often when I purchase equipment overseas and they put it in a container, they give me a website that I can go to, and then on that website it shows the tracking of where the ship is. Is this possibly where they're getting this GPS information for propagating these maps?
You know, I think there is another... there is another mode. I don't know if it's AIS, where you can actually – I'm trying to pull up one of my my multi-PSK screens here to see. I don't remember exactly, but there is a mode that you can do that. It escapes me for the moment. I haven't tried that yet.
Okay. Now we're getting pretty heavy on acronyms and stuff, so let's kind of back up. Give us some practical examples of maybe some of the stuff that you heard. You had mentioned something about some Israeli CW or something.
Well, I got to tell you, just before the show on CW, you know, there's not much CW that anymore on HF, but if I was listening to 4XZ, the Israeli Navy from Haifa, Israel, they're on 6.604 megahertz. And if you think that you're good at CW, you ought to listen to these guys send five-letter groups at about, it's got to be at least 20 to 25 words per minute.
You'll get
a workout. I don't know exactly what the purpose of those transmissions are. They seem to have a number header. It could be classified information, I don't know, but they're on there quite a bit. Of course, you can always go to the ham bands at 33.581 megahertz, and you can listen into W1AW.
Now, also, if somebody's not really into copying down code, and all they hear is da 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 da, and they have no clue what it is, is there something out there that can interface with their satellite-defined radio?
Absolutely.
Okay, tell us about that.
Absolutely. Okay, now, for all these digital modes, which are, I enumerated some of them before, you need a decoder. So there are a number of decoders out there. The one that I use, which I would recommend for first-timers, would be one called Multi-PSK. And multi-PSK will decode a number of modes like PSK31, radio teletype. So if you're listening to a code transmission and you do not know code, you can you turn on your dongle, set it to the station you want to listen to, then use multi-PSK, and what it will do is, of course, you have to tune your radio correctly, and then you'll be able to listen to these. It'll decode the CW for you.
Okay, so if I have now, if I've turned on my software SDR software, and then I launch this multi-PSK app, can I then just tune across the band, and any time I run across some CW or radio teletype or anything like that, would it start displaying what is being sent?
No. Not yet. There's one other program that you're going to need, okay?
Okay.
There's two ways of doing it. Number one, you would need another program to feed the audio output of your SDR into the input of the program. And then you'd have to select the sound card. This is where, if you have somebody who is, computer literate to help you out.
So this would be something like plugging. Would this be kind of like something like plugging in a microphone cable from the earphone jack into the input of another device? Is that kind of a virtual patch?
Yeah, this is all being done virtually.
I use a program called virtual cable. Okay, and what it does is I connect. That's a software program that you can download. They have the basic version, which is free. It's called Virtual Audio Cable. Once you download that, then what you do is when you have your dongle up and running, then you use Virtual Audio Cable as the input to the software program. Now, you could also use something that's called, I also use the SignalLink, which is an outboard interface. Basically, I plug the audio from the dongle into the USB. That gets connected to the computer via a USB cable, and then I can run it through any of these decoding programs. So you have to have a way of feeding the audio from the dongle SDR into your program.
How exciting. This is very exciting, because last time on the last show, we just talked about what you could hear when you put your ear up to the speaker or put on the set of headphones.
Right.
But what we're talking about is stuff that maybe people don't even know it's up there. It's just a carrier. And if you tune to it, it might just sound like, you don't know what it is. It might sound like a fax machine. But now, using like a virtual audio cable or signal link, you're then able to transfer that into another program in your computer that then makes that so we can read it or we can understand it then.
Yeah, exactly. Some of these programs, there's another program called MMTTY, which is, it's a very basic program for radio teletype. Today I was listening to WLO Shipcom on 8.472 megahertz, and that is a station that casts news and maritime weather to ships at sea. I was decoding that using MMTTY, and you could see information on there that's broadcasted to mariners. But a lot of times it's interesting because they will broadcast hazards to navigation. For example, Navy might be having target practice somewhere on the high seas, and they tell these ships to avoid it, these specific areas of latitude. Not stuff you would probably see on the internet routinely or in the newspaper. These are things that are out there for those who are interested. The other thing I was going to tell you is the U.S. Coast Guard. Now, there's a number of U.S. Coast Guard stations, California and Newport in Virginia, up in Boston, and they send out facts weather facsimile maps. For example, there was U.S. Coast Guard station in Boston on 16.807 megahertz was sending out weather information in map format. Now, these maps are complicated because, some of them are sea surface analysis, but a lot of times you can look up under the Coast Guard or the NOAA website how to interpret these maps. And you'll see the things like the northeast coast of America and where the waves are high or and another thing they do is they also certain times send out infrared images from satellites. And those are interesting to see because you could see cloud formations over the United States. There's just so much out there. I mean, when you get one of these dongles, it opens up a treasure trove of interesting listening. Not that the regular shortwave radio can't, but, for $15, and I've got to say the stability and the selectivity and the sensitivity of these dongles in light of the fact that they cost less than $20 is amazing.
Well, let's get into something, Mario. You mentioned the up converter, and a lot of this stuff you're talking about is on shortwave. So tell us more about what the up converter for and what it does, because you'd really need that to get into, advanced SVR.
Yeah, and, well, most of the dongles, depending on the chipset, your average DR820T tuner will tune from about 25 megahertz up to roughly 1700. Now, if you want to listen to, HF, like shortwave, if you're a shortwave listener, you need to get an up converter. Now, up converters can be homebrewed. I took the lazy man's route and I just bought one. And they cost, I bought mine from Newlec, and it's called a Ham and Up. And that is connected to the dongle, and what it basically up converts the incoming signal to the listening range of the dongle. So it basically adds it has an oscillator at about 125 megahertz. And what it does is allows you to get down into the LF, low frequencies, 150 kilohertz and up in the broadcast band too.
Right, and now, so we don't scare people away. When you get this dongle, it can be in a case. It's not like you're going to have to assemble anything. It's basically give it power and hook it up. I mean, you're not going to be soldering. Yeah. You're not going to be doing anything other than maybe some of them don't come in a case. Maybe you want to put it inside of a case, but all you need is hook up the power supply and hook the cable from your antenna to it and hook it to your dongle. That's it.
There's no soldering. You just have to get an extra pigtail, and you need a 5-volt power supply. I got mine at Staples for a few bucks, and you plug it in, and you fire up SDR Sharp or HDSDR, and you're listening to shortwave or broadcast band, or you go all the way down to I've only taken it down about 200 kilohertz. I don't know what's happening below 200 kilohertz.
I actually have taken it quite a bit lower and listened to some of the European stuff. There isn't as much long-wave European anymore. And plus, you have to have an extremely long wire plus an excellent ground, because at that frequency, it basically travels on the surface of the ground. And so you really need to have a super long antenna.
I sometimes think I hear them in the dead of winter. As a matter of fact, this is the best time of the year to listen to HF and LF, because the QRN is at pretty much at a summer, forget it.
Something else to mention is these are the frequencies that they use to communicate with submarines underwater. So you'll hear some pretty interesting stuff you know, just wonder what that is. And maybe with some of these converters that you're talking about, these different things, you might be able to, find some information down there that makes no sense when you hear it, but it might make sense when it's converted.
Oh, absolutely. And there are some signals that sound like a piccolo that the hands use. That's called JT. It's a very odd sounding signal.
I'm sorry. What was it called?
JT65. And hands use it. That's one of the more difficult ones to decode because you actually have to have your computer's clock synchronized with a standard like WWV. I haven't tried it yet. That's one of my challenges to actually be able to decode JT65.
Okay, that sounds a little... Sounds a little deeper than probably what most of the people are going to be thinking about when they're talking
sure.
about a $15 dongle and a $40 up converter. But give some other examples.
Yeah.
Once you hook up that up converter, that means you're going to be able to tune frequencies that are down below 25 megahertz. So what are some examples of what
That's
people
right.
can listen to when they hook up that up converter?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you. First off, a very good signal that's strong in many parts of the country is WWV from Fort Collins, Colorado. That is a time signal station run by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. They're found on 25 megahertz, 20 megahertz, 15 megahertz, 10 megahertz, and 5 megahertz day. Now, for example, today I was listening to it on 25 megahertz. And it ticks every, you'll hear a tick every second. And at every minute, there will be a mail announcer saying WWV Fort Collins, Colorado. And sometimes if you're lucky, you'll hear WWVH, which is on the same frequency, but in Hawaii. It's WWVH, and it's a female announcer. So when you get your dongle, try tuning it to 25, 20, and 15, or 10, or 5. To start out, if you're a shortwave listener, you can listen to there's numerous shortwave broadcasters on using AM mode. Let's see here. Now, those of you who are interested, who are AM fans, AM radio, you can look at the whole AM band, put that whole AM band up on the screen, see the whole spectrum of the band. And it's very good if you're an AM broadcast AM DXer. I routinely get WSM from Nashville, Tennessee, home of the Grand Ole Opry.
Now, did you guys hear that ticking sound that I just played?
Yeah, I heard. I knew it.
Ah, yes.
So that's an example of when you come across one of those, that sound, that is actually WWV, and that is a precise way to determine exactly where you're tuned in the range, isn't it?
As a matter of fact, if you want, that would be a good way to check to make sure that you're on frequency. So you should be hearing it roughly around 20, if you're hearing it, now, at this time of night, probably 10 megahertz or 5 would be the place to hear it. You look at what your dashboard says or your frequency is, and it should be close to what either 5 or 10 megahertz. So that's very good. That's a very good way.
And it's a great way to know what part of the band is open as well, because if you hear WWV coming through on, say, 5 megahertz, you know that there's probably other shortwave stations in that range that you could listen to also at that time.
Exactly. And what's interesting is on the minute, the announcer from WWV will announce, it's a male voice, and you have to also make sure you're on AM mode. But if WWVH is coming in at propagation's favorite, you will hear a woman's voice 15 seconds before the minute.
And that is from Hawaii, correct?
Yeah, and I've heard it a number of times. It's real knowing that from your house, from a couple of thousand miles away, you're actually receiving a station in one of our beautiful states.
There we go,
Hawaii.
Now, in addition to just hearing beep, 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 what else can people hear with their up converter attached to the SDR?
Actually, there are a number of stations around the world that broadcast aeronautical weather from different airports. Now these are called VOLMET. I guess it's from, the derivation of the word. I've heard a number of different interpretations, but it's supposed to be the French word for weather. But anyway, for example, in Gander, Canada, there is Gander Radio. And there is also a station called New York Radio. That one is found at 3.485 megahertz, upper sideband. And if you want to listen to the weather in airports all over the world, you can listen in on these stations. Now, to find out the times and the locations, just type VOLMET in Google or Yahoo, and you'll get a site, number of hits that tell you where these stations are. They're all over the world. There's some in England. There's some in East. And it's kind of nice. You can sit on a particular frequency and see if you can receive it. There's dozens of those around.
Okay.
Those are really interesting to listen to.
Now, growing up, I used to listen to shortwave quite a bit, and I was just fascinated that I could hear all these radio broadcasts from around the world. With the advent of the Internet, are shortwave stations still up there?
There's the usual biggies. I mean, Radio Habana is still around. Let me think. So many of them are gone. There are a number of religious stations. If you're interested, if you're a religious person, you can listen to religious broadcasts. A lot of them come from the United States. I'm trying to think. Radio Moscow is gone, and I think the Voice of Russia just left the air not too long ago. I think you'll find some of them on FDA radio.
Couldn't afford the fuel to run their generators anymore? I'm just kidding. So, I also wanted to get down into the AM broadcast band, because we have a couple guys on Satellite Guys. In fact, one of them owns a radio station up in the, Midwest, upper, is it Michigan?
Yes.
And he was commenting that listeners had mentioned that they were listening to a station, out of the range that he thought they could. And so he was asking about if the sensitivity on these SDRs were sometimes better than the little radios, the transistor radios.
Well, as a guy who owned probably dozens and dozens of transistor radio, I basically was surgically attached to a transistor radio as a youth. I would say these dongles give any radio a run for the money. Now, of course, you have to have a decent antenna. All the stations that I receive being a 43-foot vertical with a very good ground plane system. So a short antenna is not going to do that well. You've got to get an antenna outside. But I've got to tell you, I routinely pick up stations. Like I said, I pick up stations from Nashville, Chicago, Missouri, using the dongle radio. And what's nice is you can have the spectral display of the whole broadcast band, and you can look at it. From looking at the peaks, you can determine the signal strength of the stations, which is nice. So if you have a weak station, you could, with your mouse, you just place the cursor on that station and listen. Going to do this is at night, of course, when all the locals are off the air and the ionosphere favors propagation in that part of the band. So from darkness to dawn is pretty much the best time to capture faraway stations. But if you're an AM/DX or even an AM listener, these radios are great. I consider them pretty sensitive. just the only one thing is you want to use the RF gain judiciously. If the RF gain is too high, you're going to just get a mishmash of a bunch of stations. Keep the adjust your RF gain, which is the radio frequency gain, which is found in both in most of these programs like SDR Sharp. Adjust that so that you get better selectivity, so you don't get a whole bunch of stations together. So in other words, it works pretty good.
All right.
Hey, tell us a little bit about real quick about we're getting close to time here. But, you sent an email, and I was just curious a little bit about your nuts about nets, and I have no idea why they call it that, but it's a little spectrum analyzer you had, kind of a side thing.
Yeah.
Like $130 for it or something.
No, it's not that expensive at all. I found it on eBay just by accident because I wanted to buy a spectrum analyzer, and when I saw the prices from $1,000 up, I thought, this will never happen. I don't have the money for it. But then I saw this Nuts About Nets dongle-based spectrum analyzer, and I thought, you know, for $79, it's not going to break the bank. And I bought it, and it comes with a dongle, which is – I think it's an EasyCap R820T tuner. And then what he does is the Nuts About Nets will email you the software. So basically it's a dongle with a specialized software that allows you to scan up to, get a load of this, 300 megahertz at a time. Now, what's that good for? Well, if I use it a lot to find out if I use it for a number of things. For example, I'm looking at all the over-the-air TV stations that I can't get with my television. And I can scan and I can identify what stations are out there. So basically, it's a basic spectrum analyzer, which has a number of uses. You can even use it. I've even used it for alignment of my CB radios to see the purity of the signal and stuff.
Okay, so what is the difference between the dongle that comes with the Nuts About Nets spectrum analyzer that you're talking about and this $15 dongle that we buy?
You know, they appear to be the same thing. The Nuts About Nets software is it gives the dongle the ability to scan a much wider range. Now, the only thing is a spectrum analyzer does not act as a receiver. So that just gives you a spectral display in the form of a graph of what stations are transmitting out there.
Okay, so that's why on the Nuts About Nets, you can download the software and buy the license separately. So if you already have the dongle, you can just go ahead and buy the license for that dongle. Now, that does have some limitations that in less expensive dongle, but they have some other devices at Nuts About Nets, like the RF Explorer. Could you tell us briefly about maybe some of the other products and maybe tell us, you know, what the advantages might be to taking that next step to a different type of receiver?
Yeah. But just one thing, I have tried using the Nuts About Nets with an E4000 dongle. It doesn't seem to work with that, and that's understandable because that dongle is has a different range. But anyway, so the RF Explorer is basically a handheld spectrum analyzer. There's a couple of different models out. But what it's basically a handheld spectrum analyzer that you can take for whatever reason. If let's say you want to determine if there's a frequency in your area that maybe some people can use it to detect bugs, but I generally hook it up to my antenna to see what other frequencies are out there, if there's a predominant frequency that it's locking on.
Yeah, now we're running out of time, but what is the base cost for the beginner? $130, isn't it?
Yes.
Amazing.
It's about $130.
Amazing.
And what's nice, actually, is you can connect it to your laptop and using the Touchstone Pro program, you can actually, it's a little more enhanced than just the dongle analyzer,
right,
but then
right.
again, it's more money.
Well, I'm going to have to cut this show short. I'm really sorry, but hey, yes. really want to thank you for being on this evening. This evening, we've been talking.
I appreciate
with Mario Felipe, and it's all about software-defined radio. Thank you so much for being on this evening, and maybe you can come on again and educate us some more.
I'd be very happy to, and thank you again, Michael and Brian, for having me on, and thank you all for listening.
I really appreciate it, and now tune in next week, guys. Next week, we're going to have Kel Nelson on, K4CDN. He's got a podcast that he does, amateur radio. He's a Carolina native podcaster. So he's also about guys, November-01, NOV-01.
Wow, thank that you. Music is loud. So until next week, everybody, take care, and we'll catch you next week on Satellite Nation. Woohoo! Goodbye, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks to all that tuned in tonight. Join Satellite Guys Michael and Brian next Wednesday for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. And don't forget to like our page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio. Until next week, good night.